if you think about every time that you that most people get happy, it's, you know, when they've had to, they created something at work, they've created a family, you know, maybe they've gotten married, maybe they've had a kid, you know, they've built something. You know, our nature, we're, I believe we're put on this earth to create. And I think that it's important to realize that, because that's where our energy, when we're creating something that, that's, you know, in our purpose, or we're creating a legacy, you know, that's when all of our energy comes together.
Welcome to the People Stack podcast, where we discuss the intersection of people, work, and technology. I'm your host, Jen Bunk. I am a career coach for technical managers and CEO of the People Stack. My guest for this episode is R. Michael Anderson. He is a tech leadership speaker, teacher, and author, and is founder and CEO at R. Michael Anderson. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, Jen. Thanks a lot for having me on. I'm really excited about this.
I am excited as well. So how about we take that first step and just learn a little bit about you? Tell us a little bit about your background and where you come from.
Well, you know, I do work a lot with tech leaders because I think I've made every mistake normally two or three times in my tech leadership journey. You know, I did start out as a programmer, a coder, I started out in what's called ERP, so it's Enterprise Resource Planning, which is like SAP, Microsoft Dynamics, Navision, Great Plains back in the day, and all the accounting software. I worked for a small company that got bought by a large company. I was in San Diego, they moved me to London and Copenhagen. Then I was in Singapore, I was climbing the corporate ladder, I was in charge of Southeast Asia. I moved back to San Diego, and then I started my own Dynamics Nav, Microsoft Dynamics Nav, and SAP reseller. Then I started another company that made like apps for the ERP products, and then I started another company that was over in Singapore that helped software companies go over to Singapore. And I found myself, I was getting successful, but not happy. So, you know, I was making money, I was getting pretty well known in San Diego, but I didn't have that internal joy and fulfillment. And Jen, there's a little more drama to that that has to do with lawsuits, alcohol, drugs, divorce, all this stuff, but I'm giving you the PG short version.
Very good.
You know, I wasn't living a happy life. I'm like, look, there's gotta be more to life than this. And I found out there was two business owners that I knew that really had just like a peace about them. I don't know, Jen, have you ever been around somebody that you talk to and it's like when you're around them, you just feel like calm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And and it's that peace, that calmness I was like looking for, because I always had all these things going on in my head. And I found out that they both had been through this really unique program, which then I signed up for. And I ended up earning a really unique master's in spiritual psychology. And it's nothing to do with religion. It's the same psychology you would learn everywhere else. It's just, it's the psychology of, but we take it from a very loving, compassionate point of view. Like nobody's broken. What we do is we use psychology to clear out our psychological unresolved issues. And then, if you do believe, for example, we have a soul, then it gets you closer to, more aligned with your soul or your authenticity. And it really changed my personal life 180 degrees. But then I started implementing what I learned there in my businesses, and my businesses really took off. I mean, we made the Inc. 5000 list. We were voted number one best place to work. I was Social Entrepreneur of the Year. And that was on the outside. And in the inside, internally, it was like I was finally having fun at work. And, you know, I was, and it was because I was creating a great culture. And I know you do a lot of this with your People Stack, but, you know, I was creating a great culture. I was giving back to my employees, to my customers, to the community, and it became fun. And, you know, after 18 years with accounting software, I know that sounds like a dream for some people, but, you know, for me, it was like, that's accounting software. But I loved it. I really loved it, but it's a hard industry. And I'm like, look, there's gotta be something else out there. So then I turned in, you know, I decided to change, what I did. And I really saw the effect that I had on, again, on my community, my customers, all our stakeholders. And so I'm teaching, you know, this type of leadership, this type of, you know, I think some of the other things we're going to talk about, to other people in the tech industry, because, you know, I know what I go through, and I know what a lot of other people go through. You know, it's a tough road, and it doesn't have to be that tough. And I'm trying to just share some of the things that I learned from my journey with some of the other people out there.
Yeah, and that is, it's an amazing journey full of bumps and twists and turns, a long and winding road, as the Beatles call it. And it's so interesting to hear these stories. And I love what you said, Michael, about how there was kind of that external success, but not internally, and you weren't happy. And that's where it really turned around. And surprise, surprise, I'm sure it was a complete accident. Then you had more success after that. And that's just a wonderful story, in a way to look at that. And so I'm curious, you mentioned spiritual psychology. I want to geek out a little bit about that. And so there's a little bit of, ego there, because my background is in psychology. And so I'm always loving to geek out about that. But I'm going to guess that my listeners, that may be a term that some of them have not heard before. So I'm curious, tell us a little bit about spiritual psychology and how this has kind of shaped your journey and what you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is interesting. And it always leads to great conversation. So thanks for bringing it up. We learned six different psychoanalysis techniques. So, you know, we learned psychosynthesis, NLP, Gestalt, rational motive, you know, two more. And though what we do is we take the assumption that, you know, we're all loving beings, and that we're all, our core is love. So, you know, my wife is, it's like, and again, you know, don't get too caught up in the words, but, you know, I don't actually love my wife. It's when I see her, it reflects the love that I already am, because in psychology, there's a thing called a projection. And that means whatever's happening to us internally, we experience it that externally. So if I have a lot of judgments against myself, I see a lot of judgments in other people. And so, and that's the same way with love. It's like, it's a projection. What we see externally is a projection of everything that's happening on us internally, which is cool, because that means really we only have to work on the relationship with ourselves. And when we do that, every other relationship we have in our life changes. You know, the relationship with our coworkers, relationship with our family, our relationship with our work and our career, and our relationship, even for example, with our health. And what we use psychology really to come into a more loving, compassionate relationship with ourselves, because again, when we do that, then all of our relationships become much more positive throughout the whole spectrum.
Yeah, there is a beauty to that. There is also, I have to admit, my mind is spinning right now, and which is a little bit ironic, because the focus is on the heart here. The focus is on our core is love. But something that you said, I don't actually love my wife, it's that it's a reflection, it's a projection of the love that is all around us. Yeah. And I wonder, you know, that's a huge shift. That's a huge shift in thinking, that I know that I'm on that journey right now, sort of seeing the world and seeing the universe and in my life and life in general in that way. Can you talk a little bit more about that? What that means? I mean, this is a good example of that. I think that all of us can relate to. If you think of the person who you might describe as you love the most, whether it's a wife or a husband or a brother or a sister or a friend or a partner, that you don't actually love her. Explain that a little bit more, so that we can kind of connect with it on a deeper level.
Yeah. And so, you know, so it's, again, we are, and this is just my beliefs. And my belief is that we are love. Our nature is love. And if I can give an example, Jen, if you can close your eyes, and the listeners are welcome to close their eyes, unless they're driving, don't close your eyes.
For sure.
You know, if you think about, you know, if you notice like what your state is now, and you just sort of take a benchmark right now. And then if you close your eyes or whatever, you just concentrate on something that you really love, and don't get caught up in the words, but, you know, is it a spouse? Is it, you know, maybe your child, especially your child when they're 1 year old or they're just born, or if you ever held a kitty cat or a little puppy when they're, or something that you really connect with that you really, really love, and it really gives you that warm feeling. you know, if you think about that, most likely you have a really warm feeling. You really feel that love. You know, you might get a little emotional. Is that accurate, Jen? Did that happen to you?
Absolutely. Many times. Yeah.
And think about that. That person is not here. So all their changes were internal. So that person reminds you of the love that you are. So because, and you just experienced that, that person did not come and tap you on the shoulder. They did not give you a hug. You thought of them. And so internally, you connected to the love that you are.
Yeah. Oh, that is awesome. And I invite everybody to do that. And I invite everybody to do that every day, multiple times a day, to really connect to that feeling of love. And I appreciate that you mentioned, Michael, that these are your beliefs, right? And so sort of checking in on our own beliefs, you know, what is our core? Is it love? Is it beauty? Is it passion or whatever it might be? And to feel that, like, intentionally every day is such a gift that you can give to yourself that has such profound effects on the way that we relate to other people. So speaking of love, I love that example of oh, and they're not here. Like, oh, wow, I never thought of it that way. But yeah, you still feel it. Awesome. All right, cool. So what I want to talk about now, Michael, which I'm going to guess is going to relate to this idea of spiritual psychology and that love is all around us, our core is love, is purpose and legacy. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. What is purpose and legacy, and why should people care?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know let's talk about sort of the three levels. There's a job, there's a career, and there's a calling. And you know, if you get a job, you know, a job could be in a way very transactional. You know, your job can be something you don't really enjoy, but you're doing it just to make money, normally quickly. You know, somebody could hire you for a short job or a long job. Maybe, you know, I don't even want to bring up examples because different people will think something's a job. Other people will be so in love with what they do, they don't call it a job. They call it a career or a calling. But, you know, a job is just something you get easily normally at the beginning of your career. But that leads to career. A career is something that you have basically a long-term arc in. Obviously, technology, leadership, management can be a career. You know, you may go from programmer to program team lead to project manager to, IT director to CTO to CIO, whatever. That's a career. That's what you're spending your career climbing up the corporate ladder and doing. But a calling is different. A calling is something literally you feel called to do. It's and what I do is I talk about the get out of bed test, because there's been times in my life where I couldn't wait to get out of bed in the morning to start doing my job, what I want to do for work. And there's been times where it's like I have to literally drag myself out of bed because I hate what I do and I'm hating the day that's in front of me. And if you have to coax yourself out of bed every morning, you got a problem in your life. Mm-hmm. And so many people are stuck in this thing where they're in the grind. They see no way out. You know, they're making a certain amount of money. They feel trapped in there because they're like, what else am I going to do? They're just resigned to living this mediocre life. And it's, you know, they just can't wait till it gets to be Friday and that's, you know, till the weekend. And that's just a really tough way to go through life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really appreciate that the levels, the job and the career and the calling, and that's definitely the get out of the bed test too. And I think for me, I think it's more about like on the whole, I truly believe that I have found my calling. And most days I want to jump out of bed to get going and to talk with the people that I get to connect with and to help my clients. But you know what? Some days aren't like that. But as long as it's like on the whole, right? That everybody has their bad days, you know, especially if you're sick or you're tired or maybe you're both, that is actually a really good test. So if it's every day, oh man, and you're like dragging yourself out of bed, then it's taking a look in the mirror and saying, is this just a job to me? And how can I make it more of a career or a calling? So yeah,
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's so much time we spend at work. And you know, when you've, most people have had, you know, a time in their life where they've been so engaged, and that's actually available to all of us. And you know, your calling also can change in life. You know, for me, I loved doing ERP, and I loved it, and I didn't love it anymore. And then it's time to find my new thing. And sometimes people will get into a what their calling is, and you know, maybe it changes. Like, I loved programming for a while, but you know, some people don't want to spend the next 40 years programming. Maybe they do it for a while, and then they, I don't want to say master it, but they get very good at it. And there's like, hey, I think a lot of us, you know, I know you do, Jen, I know a lot of people listening do, they want to keep growing. And so when you reach, a, you know, coding is a great example. I coded for years, and then I'm like, all right, I won't say I've seen everything, but I've seen pretty much anything unique that's going to come across my desk. It's like, where's my next growth? So a lot of this is people's natural evolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can absolutely connect with that as well, that earlier in my career, in my former life, I was an academic, and I loved doing research and data analysis, and that felt like my calling at that point in time, where it was learning how to do the latest and greatest data analyses and leading teams to do that. But then, right, it becomes, all right, it almost starts to feel like a little bit like a chore, a little bit like a transaction, and yeah, looking back, I didn't realize it at the time, but my heart wasn't in it anymore. But I think that that's where we can get stuck, is that we think, oh, this is the way it's supposed to feel. This is, it's supposed to be hard, hustle, hustle, grind all the time. And we don't realize that there was a time when my heart was in it and it's not anymore. And okay, maybe it's time for a change. Sounds like that's what kind of happened with you when you were experiencing some success, a lot of success. But I wasn't happy, but you weren't happy. And that what was missing was the heart.
Yeah. And like you talked about it, it sort of creeps up on you, didn't it? It's not like one day you loved it and the next day you didn't. It's like probably over, you know, I don't know, 6 months or a year, it got to be a little less fun. And then you, all of a sudden you reflected on it. It's like, this isn't fun anymore. Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. So what about, how does this connect with sort of purpose and legacy? So would you say that if you found your calling, you found your purpose, and this is your legacy?
Yeah, because purpose is what you are, you know, I say what you're put on this life to do. And both, and so purpose is more like, what is your next step right now that you should be doing? And if you want to look at it from the from a spiritual point of view, it's like, what has, you know, the universe set you up to do, you know, based on, you know, your hero's journey, your trials, your tribulations, all the skills that you learn, the network that you have, et cetera. You know, you are here. And I'm a person that really believes in service. And I know we've talked about this, Jen. I know you believe in it as well. Mm-hmm. And I talk about the law of value, where, you know, when you're living your purpose and you're creating a legacy, you are giving a lot. You're giving value through your love and your service. And what comes back is joy and fulfillment. What comes back is wealth, influence, and leadership. What comes back are great relationships and connections. What comes back is that inner peace, flow, and confidence. And I truly believe when you are in a place that you're giving value, value is going to come back in, for example, the form of money, in the form of respect. And it's like, but you, it's not about being focused on them. It's about those being a result of you giving value outwards. Those come back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was reminded of, I'm not sure if you follow Tony Robbins, and it almost feels like a silly question. You follow Tony Robbins?
The funny thing is I know who he is. I catch things here and there of him. I've never been to his events or anything, but I am taller than Tony Robbins. So, you know.
Yeah. the reason that I bring it up is that I was reminded of one of his, I think he calls them incantations. The universe's wealth, what is it, or God's wealth, or the universe's wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. And that's what I thought of when you were just describing that the money and the results and the success, that's the result. That's the byproduct of living and breathing. I am doing this. I'm doing it every day. I am putting all of my effort in. I'm adding my value. And then it flows to you because that's the way life works. That's the way the universe works. So that certainly, that fills me with joy and like, all right, let's go do this. Instead of focusing on like, where's my stuff? Where's my money? Like, where, you know, I'm supposed to be making more money now, or I'm supposed to be two levels higher now, that it's not about, or where's all the love, you know, like, why don't you love me? You know, that comes up in relationships sometimes. And that as we've all experienced that, it doesn't work that way. So that I really appreciate what you just said.
Yeah. And when you talk about, you know, the spiritual psychology aspect of it, you know, you really have to step back from your ego, because your ego wants to focus on the money. Your ego wants to focus on the status. And it's interesting, whenever you give up that control, whenever you say, hey, I'm going to trust in this process, in myself, in the universe, so as it is, then you get rewarded more than you would have ever thought would be available to you. Because I really, in my belief system, that's how the universe works. When you let go of what we call attachment, when you say, hey, I'm just going to go and give and trust that the universe will support me, that's when you get supported the most. And that's when whatever is available to you, you know, really you connect with that. Yeah. So that, to me, that's how my universe works anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed when I talk with folks who have achieve success and are having fun doing it, and that's an important piece of it, that you're happy doing it, is that inevitably almost we talk about these belief systems, these core beliefs. And for some people it's about God and it's about religion. For some people it's about the universe and your beliefs and how the universe works. And for other people it has a different flavor to it. So I'm definitely hearing, Michael, that your belief system is definitely core. It's the meta beliefs. It's your beliefs about beliefs that are really what the core driver here for you are.
Yes, yes. And you know, I've taught this, my last book is Soul Center Leadership. And I've taught this leadership that has to do with, you know, really following your heart and your soul. And I've taught it in a bunch of different countries. And, you know, I've taught it to basically people that were very Christian, and all the things that I teach, again, it's nothing to do with religion, but the people that were very, that, for example, studied a lot of the Christian faith, they said, hey, all of this exactly lines up. And then I got hired by an organization that brought me to Dubai, and I taught my Soul Center Leadership to trainers throughout the whole Middle East. So there was people from Jordan, there was people from Saudi Arabia. I mean, they're in full, you know, gear, and, you know, they're very, very Muslim, very Islamic. And I had a translator. And it's a 3-day course. And, you know, the first part of it's emotional intelligence. Then the next part of it is psychology. And then we get to the spirituality part. And I'm a little nervous because, you know, here I am, this, you know, American with, and there are people that, and I told him, I said, you know, by this time we have a really good relationship. And I said, through the translator, I said, you know, I'm a little nervous. And they're like, why are you nervous? I said, well, we're getting the spirituality part. It's a general type of spirituality, but I really respect that your belief in Islam is very strong. And I'm just going to tell you again, my beliefs, and they may or may not work for you, but I want it to be an open conversation. So, you know, I want to know what, you know, like a better word, what jives with Islam. And if there's not a piece, you know, that's okay, but let me know that. And I really want to learn from you as much as I'm here to, and you're here to learn from me. And it was a great icebreaker. And we just spent the next, I think, day and a half when we got into this. It was just so amazing. And Jen, it really goes to show me we're basically all the same. I mean, everything that I said that they were totally in line with the Islamic faith, which is totally in line with Christianity, which is totally in line with, I have some Mormon friends, LDS. I mean, we all believe the same stuff. We try to make it so difficult, but you know, we're all in this game together, and it's so similar, and it's really heartwarming to see how similar we are.
Hi, everyone. We'll get back to the interview in a jiffy. But first, are you a tech manager? In other words, do you lead teams of geeks through long-term complex projects? Do you feel like you're wasting precious time going to useless meetings, dealing with administrative nonsense, and working late nights? Are you working 50-plus hours a week, but don't have the salary to show for it? It doesn't need to be that way. You can build thriving, high-performing teams who produce a measurable positive impact while earning the premium salary you deserve. Oh, and you don't have to work your butt off to get there. If this sounds like the kind of success you're striving for, then go to jenbunk.com/webinar to reserve a spot in my free masterclass. I share the 4 shifts that my tech manager clients made to achieve badass career transformation. That's jenbunk.com/webinar. Without further ado, please enjoy the rest of the interview.
That is a wonderful reminder of the connection that we have with one another, and also of some of the beautiful results and what can happen when we really connect with our purpose. So in your experience and in how you've helped folks and what you've seen, when people really connect with that purpose and find their calling, what happens in their lives? How do their lives change?
Well, I mean, you can just imagine. It's like going from you're in a bad mood all the time to you're in a great mood all the time. You're excited about everything all the time. And just like you said, it doesn't mean every day is going to be amazing, but it means, I mean, if you've ever had a purpose, maybe you've been on a sports team and you're in the playoffs, or maybe you've been working on something, an invention of your own or a book or whatever it is, you know that energy. It's like you're just... It's not even work at that point. It's really getting to whatever you're manifesting, for lack of a better word, whatever you are just building. And, you know, I believe that, you know, our nature is creators. I mean, if you go back to, you know, the Bible, God is a creator. We're in the image of God. And that means, you know, by definition, we're on earth to create. And if you think about every time that most people get happy, it's, you know, when they've created something at work, they've created a family, you know, maybe they've gotten married, maybe they've had a kid, you know, they've built something. You know, our nature, I believe we're put on this earth to create. And I think that it's important to realize that, because that's where our energy, when we're creating something that's, you know, in our purpose, or we're creating a legacy, you know, that's when all of our energy comes together. And you know, you mentioned earlier asking about purpose and legacy. Purpose to me is the next thing that you want to work on. Legacy is really what you're going to get remembered for. And, you know, you ask that, there's a profound question that says, you know, when you're on your deathbed, if somebody asked, you know, if you could reflect on your life, you know, what would you tell them? You know, what would you be proud of? Would you tell them, hey, you know, I wrote 300,000 lines of code, or, you know, I programmed this or programmed that? You know, probably not. That if you have the unique, you know, if you do reflection now, it's important to know that you have control over what you're going to be remembered for. And that's like Stephen Covey says in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, start with the end in mind. So, you know, although we're not at the end of our lives yet, now is the time to really think about, what great thing do we want to create in our life now? Because we really have to start working on it now, because great things aren't created overnight. They're created over years and years of work. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's what legacy is. It's what are you going to leave behind so that, you know, your family, your next generation, all the generations are going to be better off because you were here on this earth, on this go-round. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to talk more about how people's lives change, and also as they connect with their purpose and as they really live their life as if their legacy was inevitable. Like, I'm doing this, I'm purposefully creating this life. And also connect it back to something we were talking about earlier, which is the rewards, the results, and money. So I'd like to hear your thoughts, your beliefs, Michael, about the way money and financial abundance kind of plays in this wonderful dance of walking our journey and finding our calling. How does money play a role here, and what are your beliefs around that have served you to get you where you are now?
Well, you know, I believe that if you're truly giving value is going to come back. And who knows, maybe there's somebody listening to this that's making $20 million a year, and maybe they find their purpose and they're going to make less than $20 million a year. And maybe that's the lesson they need to know. If you're so caught up in money, maybe that's a lesson they need to learn, is to stop getting caught up in money. Mm-hmm. So that's important. Though also, if you truly find out where you're providing value, part of your spiritual lesson is to make sure value comes back. I do a lot of volunteering with orphanages in Mexico when I live in San Diego. I live in the UK now, and I always give back. And to me, those are people that that they don't have, for example, money to give back. They give back to me in other ways. Yeah. But if there's somebody out there that I do a lot of keynote speaking, and or even better yet, if there's somebody out there that wants me to coach them, and I would normally charge them, let's just pick a number out of the air, $5,000 for X number of months, they would probably show up really ready to be coached. But that same person, if I gave them my coaching for free, they would not have the value they have, they would not show up the same way to receive that coaching as my coaching client. And it's up to me to realize the value that I have in the world. And when we are in this purpose, we are creating massive value. And part of the value is to position ourselves to get that money back, to get that, for example, compensated back in money. And I don't know, did I explain that right? That sounded a little bit awkward. Okay.
I absolutely resonates with me. I run my business the same way. I run my life the same way. But it's an ongoing journey, right? It's an ongoing sort of checking in of like, am I okay with this? And what might be holding me back? And, as we grow a business, we might charge more. Okay. And I'm raising my prices. I'm raising the price of the investment, sort of checking in. Am I actually adding enough value to make it this flow of if I'm giving this and receiving this, does that feel balanced? So absolutely, hear you loud and clear. And I love what you said about that. It's part of our calling to make sure we get that value back. Otherwise, like for me, balance is a huge piece of my belief system. And so that's the way that I look at it. And it seems to align very well with what you're saying, which is if I'm adding all of this value to the world, to the universe, to people, and I'm not getting it returned in some way, whether it's financially or in another way, then there's this imbalance, and something's not going to feel right. It's going to feel off. People talk about it being, uncomfortable to ask for money. Well, what about it being uncomfortable to be out of balance like that? So that's kind of the way I look at it.
Yes. And you're exactly right. And some people say they're uncomfortable to ask for money, but why? I mean, that's just a psychological or unresolved issue. That's them not being mm-hmm. comfortable with themselves and not feeling worthy of asking for money. Same if people don't ask for a raise. I mean, asking for a raise is a question. Anything else you put around it is something that you are self-creating. It's simply a question. And if you are scared to ask for a raise or scared to ask for a promotion or scared to do whatever, that's okay. You're like me and the rest of the world, but that's not authentic. There's no fear in being authentic. So that's ego trying to protect you for whatever reason. That's longer conversations.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, that's a wonderful reminder. And perhaps I could have you on again and we could talk specifically around those kinds of conversations, because that's definitely something that comes up a lot in the work that I do and with the people that I speak with. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about, Michael, is we talked about, how our lives can change, how our own lives can change as we really connect with our purpose. Mm-hmm. But what I found that really juices me is thinking about how this helps others and how others' people's lives are going to change because I am now connecting with my purpose and I am creating this legacy. So what has been your experience of that, of how other people's lives can change?
Yes, another great question, Jen. Thanks. Because there's a couple levels. One is, for example, the people you're around, like your spouse and your kids. Because when you're not in your purpose, when you're going through that grind, when you're just dealing with a job that you might have been dealing with for years or whatever it is, you're in a crap mood all the time. I mean, you're dragging yourself around and you don't just leave it at the office. You get home after a 10-hour day kids, what's up? I don't really care. You know, you're tired, you're just down. And if you've ever been around somebody, if you've ever met them at a networking event or, you know, on a board of directors or whoever it is, that they're living their purpose, oh my gosh, that energy is contagious. And I'll tell you what, you're a better friend, you're a better spouse, you're a better lover, you're a better basketball player, you're a better everything when you are engaged with your purpose, because you bring that energy that is like boundless. And so that's just the people, like your friends and your family, get that benefit of you being that spark plug, like a better term. But also it's the people you serve, because when you find what your purpose is, you are serving others. You know, I was at I spoke at a conference, and this young lady, I mean, this was 22 or 23, dynamic young lady came up, and her name's MJ, and she's like, hey, can I talk to you? I'm like, yeah, what's up? She said, my mom had cancer, and we didn't have, she started this business. I'm like, well, MJ, what is your business? She said, well, my mom had cancer. We didn't have insurance. And so I realized that different hospitals charge different things for different procedures. I'm like, well, what do you mean? She's like, well, if I get a mammogram here, it might be $100. If I get it at hospital B, it might be $200. I'm like, whoa. And she said, obviously, it's really expensive, the treatment. And she said, my mom's all better now, but it was so expensive. But shopping around at different hospitals saved us a ton of money. I'm like, well, that's great. She's like, yeah, I had this business idea for creating an online database so that people without insurance and you could go and shop from one hospital to another. I'm like, that's pretty awesome. I'm like, where are you at? Where are you at with this idea? She's like, oh, well, it's done. I'm like, what are you done? She's like, oh, I coded it. I'm really good technically, and I coded it, and it's like done. I'm like, well, how many people are using it? She's like, oh, nobody. I haven't released it yet. Mm-hmm. And she had this amazing thing, and I said, MJ, you know, you got to release this, and you're not releasing it for you. You're releasing it for all the other young women that their mom has cancer and they can't afford care well enough. And it's like, it's at some point, it's not about you. It's about everybody else. And bless her. We didn't connect enough. So I never knew what she did, but you know, that's a prime example of, you know, and I think things like stepping into our purpose and legacy, we get these tests from the universe of, you know, it's not about the technical thing. It's about her having the courage to put it out there and say, hey, here, world, here's what I did. And to take that risk, you know, almost every time somebody steps into their purpose, the universe is going to test them with a risk, you know, is going to test their courage. It's not like, here, just walk down this, you know, easy road, you know, and you're going to be rewarded. It's like, there's going to be some sort of test they're going to have to do to test their courage, to test their strength, to test some part of them that they're going to have to leap over. And so, yeah, it's that's what people go through when they take this road.
Yeah, for sure. And through that testing, we get stronger, and we get, you know, I love the thinking about this, like when you go to the gym, you know, life is like a gym, right? We get stronger, we get more agile, we get, you know, more, we can balance better, we have more endurance, and we have more fight and more heart in us. And so, yeah, I mean, it seems like one of the themes that has come up is expectations, that we've been talking about expectations, that if there's this expectation that I'm going to go and I'm going to do this thing and it's going to be easy, well, no, then that's not actually going to help you get where you want to go, that the universe needs to test you, and that this is an opportunity to get stronger. And I do hope that she did release that, because that is a wonderful, wonderful idea. So it's a great example of, you can take that step and say it's done, but is it really done? You know, so I invite everybody to consider, you know, in your life, what do you think is done that's really not?
Yeah.
And that needs it, and that really other people need you to get that out there, to have that conversation. It's not about you, it's about someone else. It's a powerful example of that.
Yeah. You know, you brought up expectations, and it's, you're absolutely right, because we all have that. In fact, I said, you've been sold a lie in this world. I mean, you know, we used to talk about how we're sold this thing where if you go to college, then you get a job, then you get promoted, then you get married, then you have kids, then you'll retire, and then you're going to go fishing and be really happy. And that's what we were taught. And I think it's more with our parents than us, but that's not happy. I tried that. It's not happy. Maybe it's happy for some people, but for a lot of us, it's, you know, we try to go on this road and it's like, yeah, this really isn't that great, you know, our expectations are if we follow all the things we're supposed to do, we're going to get that happiness and fulfillment. But, you know, for me, that wasn't true. And for a lot of people, that wasn't true. You know, the new way it is to be purposeful, to build something, to give back, to be of service, to make an impact, to create a legacy. And I'll tell you that that's where you have it all. That's where you have fun. You see the results of your effort. You know, you can sometimes impact people in a big way. And, my experience is you do get compensated for that, you know, not just in money, but in respect and rewards and fulfillment and things. And it's oftentimes it's interesting when you have that, I think I mentioned before, when you have that faith, you get rewarded better than your biggest goal. You know, when you throw yourself into the wind, you get more than you were expecting in the beginning of it.
Yes, that is always fun, but it means taking those risks and having that faith to do that. And so we have a few more minutes, Michael. And so I have one more question. And so speaking of the universe testing you and challenges, I do want to ask the last question, which is a question that I ask all of my podcast guests. And I'm going to slightly alter it given our conversation, and I think it's become obvious why. So the last question that I always ask my podcast guests is, what's the biggest people-related challenge in your job? And given what we talked about in terms of job, career, calling, I'm going to let you decide which one to kind of put in there. You know, what's the biggest people-related challenge in your career, in your calling? What are the challenges that you have been facing on this path toward having more fun and having more success as well?
It's easy, Jen. It's people not taking action. People knowing what they should do and not doing it. And the older I get, I'm 48 now, and it's like every year I have less patience with people that don't do stuff. And, you know, it's like somebody who's really overweight and eats a bunch of sugar, and they're like, I don't know what I should do to lose weight. Well, you do know what you should do. Stop eating so much sugar. You know, it's like, it's not that hard. And it's like, look, I'll sit down with people. A lot of people will say, hey, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. And I'll be like, okay, do this, this, and this. And then they just give me excuses. And as soon as people give me excuses, I just cut them right off, because there's so many people out there that have the will to really do something important with their lives and to really, you know, live, to take this life and make something, do something special with it. And I have zero time for people that don't do that. That's not too harsh.
It's interesting that you brought that up, because I'm, you know, so I'm 40. So you're about 8 years ahead of me, but I definitely see myself going in that direction sometimes lately, where it's, why not just do it, man? You know, and it's in having, you know, honoring where they are and honoring that sometimes they won't, but it's been showing up in my life a lot lately. Like, for example, what was the example I was going to give that's kind of safe to give without giving too much away? Where it was, you know, essentially talking with someone about wanting to do a phone call. You know, I was talking with a particular person online, and okay, all right, let's hop on a call and chat. And it was that they weren't doing it, and I could tell that they wanted to and they wanted to chat with me, but they weren't. And I felt myself started to get frustrated, like, it's just a phone call, you know, why not move forward? But I also appreciate that there is fear that gets in the way. There is doubt that gets in the way. There is sort of, I don't know you, what are you trying to sell me, that can get in the way. And as much as I, you know, make it clear that, you know, it's not about sales or anything icky or slimy about that, I'm just here to help, that certain people have those blockages. And also, like, it happened with my son last night. Now, my son is 9, much earlier in this journey, give him much more grace and compassion, but he woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't fall back to sleep. I was crying for about, you know, a half an hour. And, you know, part of my head was saying, just go back to sleep, you know, just, you know, his nose was running. I'm like, just wipe your nose. That's all you need to do is wipe your nose. But he was just so caught up in the moment of, I can't fall back to sleep. They couldn't do that. But Dib, you know, soothed him back to sleep, got him to focus on his breath and just wipe your nose and you will fall back to sleep. It will come. But it's sort of that back and forth between honoring where people are and being compassionate for that, but also helping them move forward too. And that's a delicate balance and can be really hard to do, especially if you don't know the person on the other end of it.
Yes, exactly. I had a teacher and she said, it all starts with intention. And, you know, if you get clear about your intention, you know, my intention is to live a happier, more fun life. My intention is to you know, fall asleep quicker. You know, my intention is to live my purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, you can always go back to that and that can be a great driver. But when people aren't clear about their intentions, to me, intention is a little different than a goal. Intention is sort of how you're going to show up, what direction you're moving in. You know, that can really go a long way. And when you're clear in your intention, I mean, I think that really, you know, you're clear about where you're moving to or and what your attitude is to something, that can really be powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm reminded of, there's a great book. I can't remember the author. The author's name is escaping me, but it's called Turn the Ship Around. And he talks about Captain, I Intend To, and is that a way of leading that the whole team communicates with one another? This is what I intend to do. I intend to do this. Mm-hmm. And that this is the action I'm going to commit to doing. This is how I'm going to show up. And it's so powerful to even just think of that. It can shift whole teams. It can shift whole approaches to leadership to just add that word to our vocabulary and say it more. This is what I intend to do, and communicating that with other people. That is, that's super powerful.
Yeah, that's strong. I never heard of it in that context. So that's cool.
Yeah, cool. So it's been wonderful talking with you, Michael. We are almost up on time. But before we go, I do want to ask, ask you if people want to learn more about you, and more about what you do, where can they go?
Well, my personal website is rmichaelanderson.com, and I added the R, because I'm non-Googleable if you just type Michael Anderson. So it's rmichaelanderson.com. And if people, I do about a 45 minute to an hour masterclass on purpose and legacy. So if people are interested, it's www.yourpurposeandlegacy.com/register-masterclass. So again, that's www.yourpurposeandlegacy.com/register-masterclass. And again, it's about an hour and we dig in just a little bit it's taking the things that we breezed over here in this fun podcast, and we really go deep into putting it into a system, into the five steps you're going to need to start discovering your purpose and legacy.
Very great. Very great. And we'll definitely include the link in the podcast notes as well, so people can click on that if they want to check it out. So It's been awesome, Michael. A great, great conversation. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for showing up and telling us your story and so much about your beliefs and how, and I know that I have, so because of that, I know that our listeners are going to get so much out of this and ask themselves some really hard questions, but some questions that are going to help them move forward. So thank you for your time and energy today.
Oh, it's been a blast, Jen. It's been a blast chatting with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, take care.